Blog Talk Radio.
One day in that, oh Lord, in that by and by. Father God, I ask you to anoint these lips of clay to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins. I'm asking you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' marvelous name. And we shall all in unity say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I will be with you tonight, 30 minutes on the clock. And so without any further ado, we're going to go into our program. Our sermon is adversity. We have all had our time in space with adversity. And God's word tell us, as long as our feet are planted on planet Earth, we will subdue adversity. God said we will go through trials and tribulations, but he told us to keep one thing in mind, and that God would not carry us through some of them. God would not carry us through part of them, but God said he would see us through them all. So we know to most people, pain is an enemy. Nothing more than an invasion. We know that adversary forces that take unfair advantage of his victim. And if one would stop and think, whoever thought of afflictions as a friend? How many folks do you know would encourage you to learn from God's message, even though they come wrapped in discomfort? Hallelujah. We are not to be disturbed and demoralized when our comfort zone gets the squeeze. You might ask, why should this be, Pastor Ward? One reason is because during and following those times of distress, we can be certain that our God deposits some of his best lessons into our lives. And I would like to think on your particular circumstance, and especially those that seem usually difficult. And you can ask the Lord to give you the patience and the perspective to glean much wisdom as you apply these words. Hallelujah. And I hope and pray that God would carry you simply through them, and you wouldn't have to groan through it all. But God know that he sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage you to your faith so that no man may be disturbed by these afflictions. Hallelujah. And for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. And you can read this in the law of 1 Thessalonians 3 and 2 through 3. And I know you would say, I am a soldier of the cross. I am a follower of the Lamb. And again, must I be carried to the skies or the florid beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? What is this road let's travel? Why is it that path to truth? am referring to pain. It's in pain that God speaks to us through his megaphone. Suffering is the road less traveled. Affliction is the path to truth. Hardship and adversity, these are the griefs nobody wants. Just the presence of these things in our lives creates tension. For example, you go to your physician for an annual checkup. He takes your x-ray. And within a few days, he contacts you and says, well, need to do a biopsy. After the biopsy, he faces you with that horrible piece of information. You have cancer. There's no getting around it in a high-level tension. And we know that one part of us responds, I will accept this. There's no such thing as a mistaken life of the child of God. This is a roadless travel. And I want to travel it carefully and well. I want to learn all that God is saying to me through this affliction. But another part of us say, I will fight this to the end because I am a survivor and because I believe there may well be a cure around the corner. So I will not succumb. I will not lie down in my bed and give up hope and die an earthly death. It is a tension between acceptance and resistance. The afflict is actually a mental struggle between seeing God as a God of sovereign control and viewing him as a God of gracious mercy. There are lessons to be learned that can only be learned along the roads of affliction, hardship, and pain. And we know that suffering is inevitable. There's no getting around it. Pain and suffering are inevitable. And you might ask, Pastor Ward, why should we suffer in this world of land of plenty, milk and honey? One of the richest countries on the planet Earth. And we know that we are destined to suffering in this life. Our parents did not escape it. And you and I will not escape it. And neither will our children. According to the Philippians 1 and 29, suffering is here to stay. For you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also, hallelujah, to suffer for his sake. There are some today who say all suffering is wrong. All who suffer are out of the will of God. If you suffer, you are in sin. And since you are in sin, if you will deal correctly and sufficiently with your sins, your sufferings will go away. That is simply not true. Scripture does not support such teaching. But to be sure, all suffering is rooted in the fact that sin has entered the human race. However, not only has it been grounded and granted that we believe in Christ, but it has also been planted that we suffer. We read in the law of 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 through 10 presents a similar set of facts. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. This represents one of the deep mysteries of God. By carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, we enter into the true lifestyle of Christ, real living. And here's a few verses we read in 2 Corinthians 4. We read, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. That's verse 16. Again, notice we are decaying, and yet deep within we are being renewed. Now, 1 Peter 4 and 12 through 13 assures us that suffering should never surprise us. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which come upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. So, look at Christian, are you right this moment in your life being revealed? Are you currently under attack as a soldier of the cross? And I would say that here are a few things that you can consider. You are blessed. Rejoice. It's part of the package. It's inevitable. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffer that of Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. Verse 15 through 16. Now that's one side of the coin. Suffering is inevitable. And we find out that pain is essential. There's another side of this same coin, and that's the point that saying suffering and pain are also essential in Psalms 119. There are three verses separate from each other, but connected by the same thought. That's in the law of Psalm 119 and 67, 71 and 75. Hallelujah. And before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. I know, O Lord, that thy judgment are righteous, and that is faithfulness, thou hast afflicted me. Hallelujah. God never had intentions of afflicting pain and adversity on us until sin entered the world. Hallelujah. And we know that if we just keep hold of God's unchanging hand, that we can make it through any adversity that comes our way. Hallelujah. And we know that suffering is essential. But if we hope to become effective for God, it is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. Solomon is in the law of Ecclesiastes wrote, consider the work of God, for who is able to strengthen what he has bent. In the day of prosperity, be happy. But in the day of adversity, consider, hallelujah, God has made the one as well as the other. Consider in Hebrew, the term means to inspect. It was used by Moses in Exodus 3, verse 3. When the bush began to burn, he said, in effect, I will now turn aside and consider why the bush is not consumed. It was as well saying, I will make an investigation. The term includes the idea of perceiving, and when it is used of oneself, it's the idea of revealing to oneself the truth, examining for the purpose of evaluating. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read a little bit more, because I know we will have to bring this to a close, and this will be a continuation. But we'll go back and consider the work of God, but who is able to strengthen what he has bent. In the day of prosperity, be happy, but in the day of adversity, consider, inspect, and examine, and gain some objective instructions. Slow down and listen. God has made the one as well as the other. Suffering is essential, not only because it softens our spirit, making us sensitive to the voice of God, but also because it reveals us to true nature of ourselves. It shows us the truth about ourselves. Although this journey along the avenue of affliction is unpleasant and unappealing, it is both inevitable and essential. No one in God's family can remain a stranger to pain and suffering. And I'm going to read just a little bit more, and then I'm going to leave it here. We find out that Crispin in the Macedonian church at Thessalonica, the man who was responsible for funding that church, wrote them a letter of encouragement when he heard of the hard times they were enduring, even though this missionary traveler forced him to press on into other regions. His heart was still moved over their plight. So he sent his capable companion, Timothy, to check up on how they were doing. Unable to get them off his mind, the Apostle Paul decided to have his friend travel back to Thessalonica to determine the truth of what he had been hearing. He wondered how they were doing in the storm of suffering that had followed his departure. He had been concerned about them long enough. It had been time for action. The opening statement of 1 Thessalonians reveals this plan. Hallelujah. And if one of your kids, I'm going to end it right here because my time has run out. But in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to infuse your mind and to impact your spirit. As I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, I encourage you to send your correspondence to God's House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Ministry, program Old Ship of Zion, to Attention, Senior Pastor Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Email address is janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God goes in you. Bye for now.